The next case on our calendar today is Sheila Laurel Jensen versus Commissioner of Public Safety. Good morning and welcome. Council will each have 15 minutes for oral argument, and counsel for appellant will have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal. If you can please introduce yourself at the beginning of your argument and identify the party you represent, we'd greatly appreciate that. And feel free to adjust the podium as needed. There is a clock on the podium showing the time as well. And you can proceed whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Robert M. Christensen. I represent Ms. Jensen in this appeal. Thank you for the opportunity to address you this morning. The main issue is whether or not the stop was legal, as the record reflects. And in this case, the court made some major mistakes, in my opinion, and that's why his findings and conclusions are clearly erroneous. The first mistake the judge makes is on page 4 of his order, where he states, "This court reads the statute's 1,000 feet of sight to imply that if a vehicle is within this 1,000 feet of sight, a turn should not be conducted." And again, the reason why the officer pulled over Ms. Jensen was because he thought she made an illegal U-turn. And in this conclusion that the court makes, it says it reads the statute, again, I'm reading 1,000 feet, to imply that if a vehicle is within 1,000 feet of sight, a U-turn should not be conducted. That's not what the statute says. That's a clear misinterpretation of the law. What the law means is that you shouldn't make a U-turn if there isn't at least 1,000 feet of sight between you and coming vehicles and you behind, because then it becomes dangerous. If it's a corner and you can't see what's coming around the other way and you do a U-turn, that's what the purpose is. So right away, he doesn't understand, in my opinion, does not understand what the law means.
Counsel, the judge also, though, I think relied on the next part of that statute, which says, nor shall the driver of a vehicle turn the vehicle to proceed in the opposite direction unless the movement can be made safely and without interfering with other traffic. And on page A4 of your appendix in the district court's order, it says, further, the U-turn was not conducted in a safe manner. As Deputy Hawkinson testified, he had to hit his brakes to avoid a collision. So even if we agree with you with regard to the first point you made here about the 1,000 feet, doesn't that next part of the statute and the district court's findings support the decision in this case?
It would if you agree that the officer made the right conclusion to credit the officer's testimony, and that's really what the main thrust of this whole argument is that I think based on this record, the officer's testimony should not have been credited.
Because you make a distinction between, it seems like your argument is based entirely on a nuance, like how forcefully did the officer need to tap or apply his brakes? And you're saying, if I understand your argument correctly, that it's not reasonable to believe that an officer would merely tap his brakes because the proximity would require an officer to slam on his brakes, and it's that distinction that you say supports the conclusion that the district court clearly erred in believing the officer?
That and the fact that in the officer's narrative, he there's one small paragraph on what he described happened, that why he pulled it over. And so his testimony that he was at least three and a half lengths behind, and that he quote-unquote probably may have been in an accident. None of that was in his narrative.
So?
Well, you know, those are important facts.
So?
Well, you should put them in the police report.
Okay, should and must.
I know,
but aren't those distinguished?
I understand what you're saying, but nevertheless, when I got this case and I read the discovery, this is what the officer wrote. On 3/3/2019 at approximately 1:40 hours, I, Deputy Carl Hawkinson, was driving northbound on Main Street in Pine County. The blue 2005 Dodge Caravan with Minnesota license.
Wait, can I interrupt you for a minute?
Sure.
Is that in the record?
Yes.
The police report is in the record.
I quoted it, and I said, this is what you wrote. Yes.
In testimony, or is the police report in the record?
The police report is in the record, but I read this paragraph, and he affirmed it. So that's how it's in the record. I said, this is what you wrote, and the whole paragraph's in
there. So through testimony, it's in the record.
Yeah, he acknowledged what I just read, and I read it just like I'm reading it now. So he says, ahead of me turned on its left blinker to turn onto Henriette Road. The vehicle missed the turn, then pulled over to the right shoulder and made a U-turn in front of me. I pulled the vehicle over after it got onto Henriette Road. What about that nothing in that paragraph shows a violation of this law.
Made a U-turn in front of me. I mean, it's implied, it seems to me, if you read it consistent with just common reasoning, the officer is behind your client's car when your client approaches an intersection and appears to intend to turn left, but doesn't.
Right.
And then goes to the right and then curves around
In
front of the officer. So,
but how far in front of the officer? What if he's 2, 3, 4 blocks back?
Does anything in what you just read suggest he was 2 or 3 or 4 blocks back?
No, but nothing in it suggests that he had to do something to avoid a collision. He doesn't state that in this report. He just says it's in front of him. It's a straight road.
So what is the rule of law that says he's required to state it in his report more precisely so as to necessitate a disregard for any testimony as incredible if he gives more detail at the actual hearing?
Because that's his obligation as a police officer to the people of the public that he's arresting.
And what would you say as the support for that assertion that this is his obligation as a police officer? Is that a constitutional tenet or a statutory one?
No, but it's generally used to discredit police officers when they don't write important facts in a police report, that maybe it's because they didn't happen.
Well,
maybe he doesn't have a good understanding of the law. Then he comes to court and he talks to counsel. It's pure speculation. Says, look, you know, we need to shore this up a little bit when you take the stand. Okay. Then he gets up and he goes on.
But isn't it up to the finder of fact then to determine credibility? And the deputy testified.
Right.
And then, so how is it you cross-examined, and the finder of fact came to a different conclusion. And so how can that be clearly erroneous?
Because it is impeachment.
Yeah. You did it. You did what you could. But there was a different conclusion by the finder of fact. So on what do we base that it really was clearly erroneous then?
Just
because that's the standard, right?
Because it's illogical as to what the officer said. On redirect examination, the deputy then testified that he was probably about 3 car lengths behind Ms. Jensen's vehicle. Probably? That's good enough? Or then he says, when she made the U-turn, I was at least 3 car lengths. Probably at least, you know.
What exactly would you expect the officer to do with regard to how precisely behind your client's car he was?
I mean, he should have written, if it's true, he should have written, I was behind, the vehicle was 2 to 3 car lengths ahead of me.
These are excellent, I think, excellent arguments
to a finder of fact.
You haven't yet convinced me that these are merited arguments for a court reviewing the findings of the district court on the basis of a clearly erroneous standard.
Well, that's why we have to get into the actual language, because, you know, it's not fair to the public that officers come in with such vague answers. Probably 3 car lengths. He goes, I may have been in it. It's possible I could have been in an accident. You know, I've been doing this for 29 years, and I've seen cases like this, and the officers testify. I had to slam my brakes on her. I was going to hit this guy.
What would the rule of law be? Let's assume that we agree with you and we want to reverse the district court. What exactly is the rule of law that we would say, I presume in a published opinion, since you haven't cited any in your brief that would compel us to reverse, what would we say is the rule of law that would apply in other cases that would require a district court to find an officer incredible?
You know, it's based on the totality of the circumstances. It's so individual. That's why this is for de novo review here.
Well, if that's the case, then it's hard for us to say it's clear error.
Well, I don't like the case that he used for one reason to justify his credit in the officer. It's totally
what's the rule of law? I still don't know. What is the rule of law that we would say? This is the standard that you must apply as the district court. And if the testimony doesn't reach this standard, you must, as a matter of law, deem the testimony incredible.
No, it just all, well, because he didn't put it in his police reports. Not one fact.
So just so I'm clear, the rule of law would be if an officer testifies to substance that's not in the police report, the district court is obligated as a matter of law to deem the officer's testimony not credible.
I would like to see that made a rule of law.
All right. I understand.
We need to hold our officers to higher standards. The citizens demand it. This was an unprofessional narrative of a U-turn violation because he doesn't allege any facts. He just says a car did a U-turn in front of me. So what?
So what? In the court's finding is a fact, paragraph 3 on page A2 of your appendix, the court states that, or well, the court doesn't state, the court finds, rather, in the last sentence, Deputy Hawkinson testified that if he had continued at the same speed of travel, he would have hit the vehicle. Isn't that testimony that demonstrates that the U-turn was done in an unsafe manner?
But it's not in his police report. So how can we trust it?
But it's in his testimony.
But it's not in his police report.
Right, so the fact finder can't...
They can, but they shouldn't.
Okay.
It's not fair. I mean, when I get this police report and I go over it with my clients, I'm like, there's nothing in this paragraph that says that your U-turn was illegal. Mm-hmm. We got an issue here. And then we go there, and it's really disheartening to have cops come in and then start to say these facts that aren't in there. And what the message that sends to the public, it's not fair. It was a waste of time then. If that was in his police reports that I was 3 car lengths behind and had to slam my brakes on, we wouldn't have even contested the issue. So we come in there. My client has some glimmer of hope. She's a commercial truck driver, so this really hurts her. And, the police officer comes in and starts throwing out facts that aren't even in here.
I appreciate your passion.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't feel good when you're the defendant.
I understand that, but let's focus on some language that you quoted from the officer's report.
Right.
In front of me.
Yep.
Your client made a U-turn in front of me.
There's nothing illegal about
that. Why? Well, there may not be anything illegal about it, but it depends on how you interpret the phrase. In front of me, you're saying can't or doesn't imply anything more than the fact that the location of the vehicle in front as opposed to behind the officer. Might one infer reasonably from that the officer's mention of in front of me is similar to if you're driving down the road and you say, well, the person turned, moved into the lane right in front of me.
That's different.
Because of the word right?
Yeah. Okay. That's an adjective, right? It's right in front of me.
Well, why would he have said in front of me?
Because it was in front of him. It's 1:40 in the morning. She's the only car on the
road.
Why
isn't that obvious from everything else that's said?
Say again?
The officer says, I'm following behind her, and she made a U-turn in front of me. Now, having already written that the car was in front of him, he was following behind. Don't you think that at least it's not implausible that the officer included that language because it referred in part to the proximity of the car?
But he doesn't describe any facts that support the U-turn violation. Just having a car in front of you. I mean, that's a lot of speculation there, in my opinion. Oh, it was in front of me. So what?
Well, it's a lot of speculation if that was intended to be the fullness of what the officer observed. But there's nothing there to suggest either a substantial distance or proximity doesn't matter, or the other, otherwise. So it seems like more testimony is going to be necessary, and more testimony showed up.
So a lot of people, when police officers come in and embellish their reports, think they're lying. And we need to hold officers to a higher standard. That's not a very well-written police report. If I'm a supervisor in police school, and this is and we do some scenario, and they got to write a paper and come in, and I can review how they're writing their police reports, I'm going to say, look, where are the facts that make this illegal? It pull over in front of me, I would give this an F. I'd say there's nothing in there specifically. What is a specific articulable fact that made that U-turn illegal? Well, do you know the U-turn law? What does it say? Without interfering with traffic. Why didn't he write in there in front of me such that it interfered with my way? Or there was a curve ahead. It was right before a curve and she did the U-turn. That would be illegal because you have to have 1,000 feet. That's 300 yards. Okay? This court says you can't do a U-turn within 1,000 feet whether it's safely or not. That's how he interprets it. That's completely wrong. Otherwise, no one would do U-turns in downtown St. Paul, Minneapolis. You have to have 3 football fields or you can't do one? You know, that's absurd. It's absolutely absurd understanding the law. That can't stand. We can't have that out there. That's not what the law says. He has it totally wrong. And I don't know why he credited the officer. He very well could have not. I don't know.
Mr. We all have biases.
I have no idea. I'm just saying on this record, this is poor.
Mr. Christensen.
Poor, poor, poor.
Thank you for your argument. Your time is up.
Thank you.
You have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you.
May it please the court, counsel. Thank you for your time this morning, Your Honors. My name is Nick Moen. I am here on behalf of the Commissioner of Public Safety. Before I get into my argument, I want to address briefly a few questions the court had asked during appellant's argument. The police report was not introduced as an exhibit at the hearing. The peace officer certification, however, was introduced as an exhibit at the hearing, and that does state that the reason for the stop was an illegal U-turn, and Deputy Hawkinson testified that he filled out the certification that night during the arrest process.
You're saying the report was not in the record. You're not disputing that the officer acknowledged through examination the quotes that Mr. Christensen offers now as to what was in the report.
I'm not disputing that, Your Honor. I'm simply saying that
the document
was not an exhibit. But the peace officer certification was an exhibit in the record.
So you're not disputing that we can properly consider his testimony that confirms pieces of the police report?
Not at all, Your Honor.
And you would agree, I suppose, that if what was represented and acknowledged to be in the police report were all that was offered for the court to consider probable cause to stop for a violation, that would not be sufficient.
I would absolutely agree with that, Your Honor. If the only thing in the record was that the officer observed a U-turn and then made an investigatory stop, there's clearly not reasonable suspicion here. However, the deputy testified consistently that he had to slow down to avoid a potential accident caused by the appellant's U-turn. This is on pages 6, 7, 15, and 16 of the transcript. I would point the court to 2 quotations on page 6 of the transcript. He states, quote, "I had to slow down to prevent a risk of getting into an accident." On page 7 of the transcript, he states that, quote, "based on the U-turn that appellant's vehicle made and how close I was to appellant's vehicle, it was not a safe move," referring to the U-turn. And this is despite the fact that he testified on pages 15 and 16 of the transcript that he maintained a distance of at least 3 car lengths before the U-turn.
Can you address Mr. Christensen's, he refers to it as an illogical testimony. It might be construed even further to be what might be considered impossible, that if a vehicle is traveling behind another one on a highway at 3 car lengths behind, one cannot avoid a collision by merely tapping on one's brakes, and I believe the argument goes, and therefore, the officer's testimony should have been, and must, as a matter of law, have been discredited.
Your Honor, appellant cannot cite to, and the commissioner is not aware of any legal authority that specific, that a word like that would render testimony incredible, that an aggressive synonym needs to be used in order for testimony to be incredible. Additionally, this argument ignores what I just talked about, that the deputy consistently throughout all of his testimony stated he had to slow down to avoid a potential accident. And we just
Does it matter as a matter of law whether the slowing down to avoid the accident had to be abrupt versus gradual?
No, Your Honor, I don't believe it would. The statute 169.19 states that illegal U-turns are both unsafe, and U-turns that interfere with traffic are illegal. And the district court, in their order on page 4, states that this U-turn was both unsafe and interfered with traffic. These are two independent bases for the stop. While I do, the record does establish that this was an unsafe U-turn. If the court deems that it was not, the record also establishes that this was a U-turn that interfered with traffic.
There was no testimony, I take it, that the stop was based alternatively on a concern about just reasonable suspicion in the driving conduct, that the vehicle intended to turn. There wasn't any reason for the vehicle not to turn after signaling left, continued on, moved on to the shoulder, and then looped around. There's no testimony the officer made that the officer suspected intoxication or impairment based upon that conduct.
There is very brief testimony about the officer stating one alternative reason for the stop was the vehicle turning on his signal and missing the turn. However, it was not the testimony was not in the context of suspicion of possible impairment.
And no finding to that effect either.
No, there's not, Your Honor. The testimony and the finding resolves around the unsafeness of the U-turn and the interfering of traffic.
So if we were to affirm, that's the only basis upon which we could affirm on this record.
That is correct, Your Honor. The district court, as appellant pointed out, also felt that the U-turn violated the 1,000-foot aspect of the statute. I don't feel that is necessarily a correct interpretation of the statute, but that is also another basis the court could conclude on. But to get back to the argument about using the word tap, it just ignores the consistent testimony provided by the deputy. And when you're assessing the credibility of a witness, the district court is the one in the best position to do it. They're the one there with the witness when they are testifying. They're the one who is able to see intonation, the demeanor of the witness. There's more than just the words used. It's how the witness is testifying. And the district court is the one there doing that. They're in the best position to credit this testimony. And they found the deputy credible. They explicitly stated that in their order and determined that based on that credible testimony, this was an unsafe U-turn and this U-turn interfered with traffic. The second argument that appellant makes about the credibility is the lack of details in the police report. However, importantly here, Your Honors, there is nothing in the testimony that contradicts the police report and vice versa. The testimony simply contains details on the unsafe U-turn that were not...
Assume there was testimony that was inconsistent, even contradictory with the police report. Would that require reversal?
I don't believe that would require reversal, Your Honor. If I may have 1 second. The case the district court relied on in the welfare of TNY, when they determined that the officer's testimony was credible and the issue with the police report was not an issue because they were not contradictory. There's also a citation to State v. Bakken, 604 Northwest 2nd 106, a Minnesota Court of Appeals case from 2000, which says inconsistency in testimony and conflicts in evidence do not automatically render the testimony and evidence false and are not basis for reversal. The district court still has discretion to determine credibility. However, this is not an issue I think that needs to be addressed here because the police report is not in any way contradictory to the deputy's testimony. I believe that is all I have to say, Your Honor. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them at this point. If not, I would ask that the court uphold the decision of the district court.
Okay. No further questions. Thank you for your argument here today, Mr. Miller.
Thank you for your time today, Your Honors.
Any rebuttal, Mr. Christensen?
Yes, thank you. So I just want to reiterate and make clear why I think this testimony should not be credited. And I know it's a very high bar. I understand the credibility that the district court has provided deference. But boy, you know, in this case where there's not one objective fact in the police report to support the conclusion that it was an illegal U-turn, that's got to cause us concern here. And you combine that with the fact that you have a district court judge that misinterprets the law. Even counsel for the commissioner admits that. It's just wrong. And so, you know, you just start to wonder that there is no other officer. There's no squad video. You know, there's no check here. And we have to be a check on, you know, poor police reports. Or maybe, and the presumption has to be, if those essential facts to support a U-turn aren't there, the presumption has to be it's because they didn't happen.
But that's not the current law, correct?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's really, it's, you know, how do you know if you're someone's believable in life, huh? It's difficult to sometimes tell. There's some really good psychopathic liars out there in the world. I'm not saying this cop's a psychopath, but it's difficult. But we have to, why should we credit it is the other question. Why is the presumption that it should be credited?
I don't think that's the presumption. I think the presumption is the district court. As for the district court was not under any presumption one way or the other, just made a decision. The difficult thing for you on appeal, of course, is that here there is a presumption, which is that the district court, it's not just presumption, it's a substantial degree of deference that we give to the district court's credibility determination.
Right, and I appreciate that. And I think in all three phases of this, there's, first of all, his testimony is incredible because it is illogical. To say that you tapped your brakes on to avoid hitting a car from just three car lengths behind when she pulls over to the shoulder, and if he's in the lane and she pulls over to the shoulder, how is there an accident unless he pulls over to the shoulder with her?
Is it?
If he's three car lengths.
Is it consistent with the determination for the district court to have believe that the report that the officer was behind your client, but disbelieved the distance that the district court could believe and reconcile all of the testimony and the report if the district court concluded that the officer was further than three lengths behind by some distance, but not enough to allow a U-turn to occur safely. Is that, would you agree that that's consistent with the findings of the district court?
I don't, because in the officer's testimony, he says at least three car lengths. So
right.
That means it could be three car lengths to whatever.
That's
it's
my
vague.
Point. That's my point.
Yeah.
At least three car lengths, meaning that it's more than three car lengths, but not so many car lengths that the U-turn could have been completed without a collision had the officer not tapped on his brakes. Is that, would you agree that that's at least consistent with the conclusion?
I don't, because I don't think the officer should be credited about whether he tapped his brakes, slammed his brakes, or
but,
how many.
So you're
car
saying it's not consistent
behind.
Because you don't believe the officer was testifying truthfully, but you do recognize it's as a matter of logic. It is logically consistent if the officer was believed to be operating further than three car lengths behind.
Well, and that's the problem with the testimony is that we don't know how far he was behind. At least three car lengths? That's not an answer. What is that? That's just a vague answer. That doesn't engender confidence in his testimony when he says at least three car lengths, and then he also says, it's possible, maybe I could have been in an accident. It's like, well, wait a minute. Did you have to brake in order to avoid a collision, or didn't you, officer?
Was
he,
that
didn't, he didn't testify to that.
He asked that question on cross-examination?
No, I don't know. Maybe. I think the point was made. Look, it's absent of any objective facts That's one reason why we shouldn't credit his testimony. The second is that when he does give his answers, they're vague. At least three car lengths? I mean, what was it, officer? Possible collision? What? That doesn't engender confidence. And then you get a judge who misinterprets the law and then cites a case that's completely misplaced. Because in that case, there were three officers chasing a juvenile person accused of assault, and the question was whether or not he had a gun. And two of the officers came into the hearing and said there was a gun, but it wasn't in their police reports. But a third one did have it in his police report. So that gave it credibility. Here, we don't have a second officer that gives any of the objective facts. Here, at least we had one in that case. So that's completely misplaced. This is a horrible decision. The officer did not put in his police report the objective facts necessary. The court misconstrues the law, and the explanations that the officer does give to shore it up are vague and not consistent with his police report. I don't think credibility should be found here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to both counsel for your oral arguments and your briefs. We will issue our opinion within the statutory time period.
Very well.
Thank you. Appreciate your helpful arguments.